So the reason why I wanted to talk about this topic today is because as we begin the Parshios talking about the Mishkan this week, this past week we learned Parshas Truma, next week Parshas Tetzaveh, and I think a lot of people have a little bit of Mishkan fatigue and Karbanos fatigue once we get into a Sefer Vayikra. And somebody recently was telling me, he was troubled, you know, what is it that we're talking about the Mashiach? And he says, when we read all about the Karbanos and the like, so, you know, I think about Mashiach. And he raised this question. He says, you know, we all long for and hope for the coming of Mashiach soon, speedily, Be'ezras Hashem. But how do we know that the person, how do we know who's the right Mashiach, who's the true Mashiach? In fact, somebody this morning happened to ask me an interesting question, which we're not going to answer now, but I guess it sort of highlights the issue, which is that he said there is, he was davening at a certain minyan. They barely had a minyan. And one of the people in the minyan told him that he is the Mashiach. So he wanted to know whether such a person could be counted as towards the minyan. It's an interesting question, but it highlights the issue. It highlights the issue of how will we know who is the true Mashiach? And we all know, and we'll talk about this more in a couple of minutes, but we all know that Jewish history is full of false messiahs, people who claimed to be the Mashiach and others thought they were Mashiach. Many of them caused a lot of damage. Shabtai Tzvi is certainly the most famous of them, but there were many throughout the ages, starting with the Yeshua Notzri, maybe even before, I don't know, and up until modern times. And so the question we need to figure out is how will we identify the right Mashiach? And are there rules? Even if someone seems like a great tzaddik, for example, but is there a litmus test? How will we make sure that we're not being led astray? And one of the things we're going to see is that, in fact, the halacha does give us rules about how to identify who the true Mashiach is. And not only that, but again, as we're going to see, that if those rules were followed, then much of the damage that was caused by false messiahs over the ages would not have happened. But let's begin with what the Torah tells us about the Mashiach. And we're going to start with Sefer Dvarim. This is from Parshas Nitzavim. It's your first source. Parshas Nitzavim is the parsha that talks most explicitly about the Messianic era. And let's see what it says about the Melech HaMashiach and whether or what signs we could look for to identify the Melech HaMashiach. So the Pasukim say, Vayak yavau alacha kol advarim ha'ela habracha v'aklala asher nasati lefanecha. And it will be when all these things that I've described for you take place, both the bracha and the klala. Remember, this is at the end of Sefer Dvarim. It's after Parshas Kisavo. The Torah has told us about the horrible exile that we will experience. And of course, as we know, we have experienced. Vashivosa levavecha b'chol agoyim asher yidchacha Hashem Elokecha shama. And you will take it to heart all the things that all the things that I have told you. V'shavta ad Hashem Elokecha v'shamata b'kolo b'chol asher anochi mitzavcha hayom. And you will do tshuva. In other words, the Pesukim are telling us that before the coming of the Mashiach, we will take it to heart. We will do tshuva with all our heart, and we'll follow the mitzvos. Ata uvanecha uchol levavcha uvuchol nafshecha. You and your children with all your heart and all your soul. V'shav Hashem Elokecha ashvuzcha v'richamecha. And then Hashem will return those of you that have been scattered and have mercy on you. And he's going to gather you from all the nations that he has scattered you. Even if your remnants are in the edge of the earth, from there Hashem will gather you and bring you back. He's going to bring you back to Eretz Yisrael, the land of your forefathers. And he's going to make things greater for you. And you're going to be more multiple, more numerous than your forefathers. Hashem will circumcise your heart and the hearts of your children. To love Hashem your God. Now, what exactly is meant by Hashem circumcising our hearts? Clearly, it means that he's going to make it more natural for us to do that, which is right, to love God. Does it actually mean that we won't have free will? That's an interesting question. If we have time, I'd like to get back to exactly what this line means, especially the Ramban's comments, but for now, we'll leave it. And then it also talks about the punishment of those who've oppressed us. And God will punish, give these curses to the enemies, to those who have pursued you, those who have persecuted you. So this psukim, these psukim certainly tell us about the Yemos HaMashiach, about the Messianic era. It tells us about Kibbutz Galios, we're going to return to Eretz Yisrael, Ve'tivcha, Ve'hirbucha, Ve'avosecha, we're going to enjoy bounty, prosperity, everything is going to be great, greater than it ever was. We're going to all join together in the service of God, we're going to love God. It tells us about the Messianic era, but what's interesting is that it doesn't actually tell us anything about the Melech HaMashiach. While it tells us about the Messianic era, it doesn't tell us about the individual, the personal Messiah, the person who is going to redeem us or be involved in the redemption. So while these psukim do tell us about Yemos HaMashiach, it doesn't tell us how to identify the Melech HaMashiach. In fact, the psukim don't refer to the Melech HaMashiach at all. Are there any psukim in Chumash that talk about the Melech HaMashiach? The answer is not explicitly, but Chazal have a tradition that there are certain psukim, especially in the Nevuah of Bilam, that are referring to the Melech HaMashiach. One of them I didn't put in your source sheets is from Bamidbar, Perek Chaf Dalet. Arena velo ata, ashurenu velo karov, darach kochav miyakov, v'kam shevet miyisrael, umachatz pasei moav, v'karkar kol b'nei sheis. So I see him, but not now. I behold him. He's not near. Darach kochav miyakov, there'll be a star that shoots from Yaakov, that come shevet miyisrael, and a scepter shall arise from Yisrael, and he is going to bring about the redemption. So this is an allusion to Melech HaMashiach. The Rambam cites this as well as a referring to Melech HaMashiach. However, these psukim also don't tell us very much about the qualities of the Melech HaMashiach. It alludes to what he's going to do, but it doesn't tell us about how we will identify him. So as far as I can tell, if we just look at Chumash, we don't know so much about the Melech HaMashiach. And part of the reason for that is because the Melech HaMashiach is going to be a descendant of David HaMelech, as we'll see. And David HaMelech would not be born for many hundreds of years. It would be very funny if the Chumash started telling us about David and his descendants, when David yet wasn't born, the concept of Malchus Beis David did not yet exist. So therefore, it's not surprising that the Chumash doesn't tell us about the Melech HaMashiach. It tells us about Mashiach, but it doesn't tell us about the ways that we could identify the actual Messiah, the person. However, if we turn to the Nevi'im, So then we do have some clues. And the next source over here is a group of psukim from Sefer Yeshayahu, which do describe the Melech HaMashiach. So let's take a look at that together. V'yatza choter migeza Yishai, v'neitzer misharashav Yifra. A shoot shall come out of the stock of Yishai. So this is someone, like we noted, from a descendant of Yishai, referring to a descendant of David. V'neitzer, and a twig, misharashav Yifra, shall grow from his roots. So the first condition that we see over here in the Pesukim is that he'll be a descendant of David ben Yishai. But what about his qualities? That's his lineage. V'nacha alav ruach Hashem, ruach achmo vina, ruach etzel vura, ruach da'as v'yiras Hashem. A spirit of Hashem shall rest upon him, and a spirit of wisdom and understanding, a spirit of counsel and might, spirit of knowledge and fear of Hashem. So what do we see? We see seemingly that he is a Navi. We see that he is a Chacham. We see that he is a Tzaddik. He is Yirah Shamayim. So now we're already getting some of the qualities of who he's going to be. V'haricho b'yiras Hashem, v'lo l'mare inav ishbot, v'lo l'mishma oznav yochiach. This is actually a hard pasuk to translate. What does v'haricho mean? Because it seems to be referring to the word reach, smell. Some translate this as his delight will be the Yiras Hashem. Some understand that it means that he will be able to sense that which is right or who is right, even without the normal means. And there's an interesting idea. He's not going to judge based on the sight of his eyes, nor decide based on the hearing of his ears. What this means, we'll see a little bit later, the Mefarshim explain. But let's first finish the passage. V'shafat b'tzedek dalim, v'ochiach b'mishor le'an ve'aretz, v'ika eretz b'shevet piv, v'ruach s'fasav yamis rasha. So besides his righteous qualities, which were described earlier, we here have something else very interesting. He's going to be a judge. And not only that, but it refers to his power. But where is the source of his power? The source of his power, it says, is his mouth. In other words, the hika eretz, he's going to hit the land, hit the world, smite the world, but b'shevet piv, with the staff of his mouth. So what the impression you get is that he's someone who's going to be a great leader, who's going to be powerful, but not because he is the leader of great armies, not because necessarily his physical strength. His strength, his leadership, comes from his mouth. Uveruach sfasav, from the breath of his lips, yamis rasha. He's going to slay the wicked. V'hayat tzedek ezor masnav, v'emunah ezor chalatzav. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. Again, telling us that his power comes not from, it's not physical power that he wields, but it comes from his lips, from his Torah, from his wisdom, from his nevuah, and the like. So we're starting to get an impression about what the Melech HaMashiach is going to be like. These psukim tell us again, someone who's a descendant of Beis David. These psukim tell us that he's going to be righteous, that he's going to be wise, that he's going to wield great authority. But it still doesn't give us such concrete rules, and that's not surprising. Yeshayahu, in general, Nevi'im Achronim, are very poetic, these prophecies, but they're not very concrete. They're not like a halachic work. If we want to find out more concrete rules, we'll have to turn to a halachic source. Halacha oftentimes takes the ideas, the values of what we find in Navi, but will concretize them into rules which can be applied in a practical way. And so for that, we're going to turn to the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim. The Rambam, it's very important to remember, the Rambam's halachic work, the Mishnah Torah, the Yad HaZakah, deals with everything. Sometimes when we think of halacha, we think of a book like the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, the classical work on halacha, is a source that deals with only the very practical things that come up in day-to-day life. It doesn't talk about all areas of halacha. Doesn't talk about halachos that weren't relevant at the time of the writing of the Mashiach. So it doesn't talk about things like korbanos, for example. The Rambam, though, his halachic work talks about everything, anything that will ever be relevant. So the Rambam does talk about korbanos. He does talk about mitzvos hatluyos ba'aretz. And he even talks about beliefs that a person has to have. That too is, in a sense, part of halacha. And he talks about the nature of the Messianic era, what you have to know about it, including, and this is very practical, how will you be able to identify the Melech HaMashiach? So let's take a look at the Rambam, Perek Yud Aleph Halacha Dalet, which is your next source. Now, before we read it inside, I want to introduce terms. The term chazaka. What does chazaka mean? So we have the concept of chazaka in many areas of halacha. Chazaka means a halachically legitimate presumption. A presumption is something that we don't know for certain, but we can reasonably presume to be true. And the halacha oftentimes utilizes chazakos. I will assume, I can legitimately assume that something that's in your possession belongs to you. I don't know for certain, maybe you've stolen it, but there's a presumption. The halacha says, for example, that certain vegetables have to be checked for tolaim, for bugs, because the Torah prohibits eating tolaim. But there are certain types of vegetables that have a chazaka that could be presumed not to have bugs, and you don't need to check them in order to eat them. You don't have to check an apple or cucumbers or tomatoes or all sorts of vegetables. Now, does that mean that they'll never be infested? Does that mean that it's impossible that there might be a bug here? No, but you don't have to check them because there's a legitimate halachic chazaka. And the term chazaka comes up. There are many types of chazaka. Sometimes a chazaka is established when a certain pattern is repeated three times, like we read about a couple of weeks ago in Parshas Mishpatim. There are different types of chazaka. And we don't need to get into the details of chazaka now. We just have to understand the term. The term chazaka means a presumption, and again, halachic presumption, that a certain thing is a certain way. Now, why is that important for our discussion? Because as we'll see in a moment, the Rambam discusses two types of people. There is someone who does A, B, and C, and he is considered Bechezkas Mashiach. And then if he does D, E, and F, then he is Bevadai Mashiach. He is certainly the Mashiach. So what does that mean? If he's done A, B, and C, we can presume he's the Mashiach. We should treat him like the Mashiach, but we should also be aware that it's not certain. It might not be the case. Like every chazaka, we're always aware that it might not happen. By analogy, you know, if I go ahead and I hear the weather forecast and it says there's a 90% chance it's going to rain today, I'm going to take my umbrella. But at the same time, I know that lots of times when they predict rain, it doesn't happen. It doesn't mean that the weather forecaster is doing a bad job, because that's exactly what he's doing. He's predicting. He's forecasting. He's not saying with certain. If he tells me that it is 100% certain it's going to rain today. And then it doesn't rain today. So then I would say he is a lousy meteorologist. But if he says we forecast rain, we predict rain, rain is likely, and then in fact it doesn't rain, it's not, doesn't indicate that he doesn't know what he's doing. So too over here. If I go ahead and I tell you, going back to the analogy of vegetables, if I go and I tell you that you don't have to check an apple for bugs, and then you come up to me and you say, well, once upon a time, I saw a bug in an apple. I washed the apple. I don't know. I cut it open. Lo and behold, there was a worm. So does that mean that I can't bite into an apple? I have to always check. Maybe there's going to be a worm there. No, because you don't need certainty in order to permit something. It's enough that you can make that reasonable assumption. It's enough that it's bechezkas. It's presumed not to have tolayim. So if we say that someone is presumed Mashiach, he's bechezkas Mashiach, so that doesn't mean he's vadei Mashiach. And in fact, it might even turn out that he isn't the Mashiach. But it's still valuable to know who is bechezkas Mashiach and who is bevadei Mashiach. So with this in mind, let's go ahead and read what the Rambam says. V'im ya'amod, the next source, Hilchos Malachim, Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Dalet. V'im ya'amod melech mibeis David. If a king arises from the family of David, hogeh ba'torah, vosek b'mitzvos k'david aviv, he is someone who studies Torah and observes mitzvos like David, his forefather. Kefi Torah shebichsav v'shebal peh, follows the written Torah and the oral Torah. So the first thing, the first requirement that we have is that he be from Malchus Beis David, very much like we saw in Yeshayahu. Second of all, he has to be a tzaddik and a Talmud Chacham, also like we saw in Yeshayahu. V'yachuf kol Yisrael lelechba ulechazek bedka. And moreover, he compels the Jewish people to follow in the Torah, and he strengthens the ways of Torah. Now, this probably is what we saw referred to in the Navi Yeshayahu about his leadership in terms of, and his authority stemming from his mouth, as opposed to simply his coercion that comes from physical might, like guns. So he uses this authority that he has to lead the Jewish people to return to Torah. And here again, we remember the Pesukim back in Parshas Nitzavim, which talked about Shuva as a part of the unfolding of the Messianic process, the return to Torah. So in Parshas Nitzavim, it talked about the Jewish people returning to Torah, but it didn't tell us that there's a person who is leading that return. Here, the Rambam, echoing the words of the Navi Yeshayahu, tells us that the person leading that tshuva movement will be a person, this descendant of David. V'yilachem milchamos Hashem, and he fights the wars of Hashem, again, referring back to Yeshayahu and other sources. Here's an interesting question. How literal does this mean? Does milchamos Hashem mean physical wars, or perhaps not necessarily the wars of Hashem, meaning to say the war of justice, of righteousness, of morality, of religion? Those are the wars of Hashem. It doesn't mean that he is the leader of a physical army. It doesn't necessarily involve tanks. So if he does these things, harei zeh b'chezkas shu Mashiach. He is presumed to be Mashiach. He is b'chezkas Mashiach. Im asav itzliach. If he succeeds in all the above, then itzeach kol omosh svivav. And he also defeats all of his enemies that surround him. In other words, there are no more enemies of the Jewish people. No more nations trying to kill us, persecute us, and the like. Uvana beis hamikdash bimkomo, and he rebuilds the temple in its place in Yerushalayim. Vekibetz nidchei Yisrael, and he gathers in all of the dispersed Jewish people. Harezet Mashiach bevadai, then he is certainly the Mashiach. Meaning to say that, if we're to summarize, to be Bechezkas Mashiach, then what do you need? Number one, to be from Beis David. Number two, a Talmud Chacham. Number three, someone who observes mitzvos, a tzaddik. Number four, who compels the Jewish people to follow in the way of Torah and its observance. He's someone who brings the Jewish people back to tshuva. Number five, he fights the wars of Hashem. He is presumed Mashiach. Before we even get to Bechezka, Bevade Mashiach, if we think about some of the false messiahs over the years, and as I've said, student of Jewish history knows that there have been many. Has anyone, any of those false messiahs, fulfilled these five conditions? I don't think so. If we had insisted on that, so then we wouldn't have gotten into the trouble that we did. Why do we get into trouble? Now's not the time to get into it too much, but I think it's important to remember a couple of things, especially, let's say, when we talk about the tragedy of Shabtai Tzvi and other examples of false messiahs. Almost always, false messiahs come after very tumultuous periods, oftentimes periods of tremendous persecution and suffering, where people, in this case, the Tach V'Tach persecutions, where people are depressed, they are in need of hope, they're desperate, they don't understand what's happened, and they're looking for hope. And a Mashiach, of course, provides greater hope than anything we could imagine. And so there is a great desire to believe, a great hope that this is going to be it. There's really a very strong incentive. We are Maminim b'nei Maminim. The Jewish people believe in Mashiach. Ani Mamin b'emuna shalema b'vias haMashiach v'achal pish yismameim kol zech hakela. We long for his coming. Kil Yeshuas hakivinu kol hayom. We say every day in Shemona Esrei, your redemption we long for all day long. So there's a tremendous, desire that this should be it. It's also true that there were all sorts of rumors about what Shabtai Tzvi had done, reports of miracles and the like. And in fact, there were rumors that Shabtai Tzvi had done all these things and many more. And so that also is what leads to it. And again, I would say in the old world where there was communication was much less sophisticated. So one person tells the next person to tell the next person, and people could believe all sorts of things that are unfounded. The truth is, we know that even nowadays, with our advances in technology, people continue to believe all sorts of ridiculous things. So it's not like we've solved that problem entirely. But that's the person who is Bechezkas Mashiach, if he meets those five conditions. What about Vadei Mashiach? For that, you need to defeat all the enemies. You need someone who builds the Beis HaMikdash and someone who gathers the scattered remnants of the Jewish people. That certainly has never happened. I'd like to point out what's missing here. What it doesn't say is anything about miracles. And that's because when we read those psukim, it doesn't say that the Melech Mashiach has to perform miracles. He may, or he may not. There's a general question about whether the Messianic era will change will involve a change in nature. This is a debate in Chazal and a debate in Rishonim. The Rambam, for one, held that nature won't change in the Messianic era. The Messianic era will be a time of universal recognition of God, of prosperity, of unity, but it won't be a time of miraculous or miracles, changes in nature, and the like. People will still live and die. They'll live a long life, perhaps. Many of the things that trouble us won't exist. Parnassa might not be a problem. We'll be able to spend much of our time devoted to studying Torah and doing mitzvos. None of that needs a change in nature. The Rambam discusses elsewhere whether the Melech HaMashiach will perform miracles. The Melech HaMashiach, the Rambam thinks, might perform miracles, but we see from here he need not. So it's not a condition. Someone can be presumed to be the Melech HaMashiach, even though he doesn't perform any miracles. So let's continue reading in the Rambam. The Rambam says, "Vim lo itzliach adko," if he is not successful in the above. In other words, someone who becomes Bechezkas Mashiach, he meets the first five qualifications, but doesn't continue to succeed. Oh, Narag, or he's killed. We could tell for sure that he's not the one that the Torah had promised. In other words, the fact that he was killed shows that he was, in fact, not the Melech Mashiach. So it's true. Even if he meets the qualifications of the presumed Mashiach, but if he doesn't make it, so then we see he's not the one that we are waiting for. He's like any one of the other Beis David who were tzaddikim who died. So this Melech HaMashiach was a tzaddik. Okay, I see someone asking about Tchias HaMesim. Tchias HaMesim has nothing to do with the Messianic era per se. We believe in Tchias HaMesim. It too is one of the Ikare Emuna. However, it is, and like Mashiach, belief in Mashiach is one of the Ikar Emunah, but they have nothing to do with each other. Another time, perhaps we could give a shiur on what is Tchias HaMesim. According to Ramban, Tchias HaMesim is a miracle that will take place at the end of the Messianic era. According to the Rambam, it's a miracle that will take place at some point, probably during the Messianic era, but not necessarily bringing in the Messianic era. So there might be Tchias HaMesim during the Emos HaMashiach, but there's nothing to do with the coming of the Mashiach, and therefore it's not really relevant to today's discussion. Thank you for bringing that up, though. Okay, so again, the Rambam says that if this person who is Bechezkas Mashiach, who is presumed Mashiach, dies, so then it turns out he's not the Melech HaMashiach. V'lo hamid HaKadosh Baruch Hu ela l'nasos bo rabim shenemar umin ha-maskilim yikashelu litzrof bahen ulvarer ulabein ad es kates ki od lemoed. Here the Rambam quotes a pasuk in Daniel. Very interesting. The prophet himself, Daniel, predicts false messiahs or people who are who seem like they're the Mashiach but aren't actually the Mashiach or don't turn out to be the Mashiach. By the way, I should point out that someone who's Bechezkas Mashiach who doesn't end up becoming the Mashiach, it does that mean that he was never really the Cheskas Mashiach? Maybe. Or maybe it just means that the people were not yet Rohoi. Perhaps this person could have been the Mashiach had we been worthy of Mashiach. If it was the right time for Mashiach to come, he would have been it. But it wasn't the right time, and therefore he died. He was a wonderful person, but didn't turn out to be the Mashiach. So again, the psukim over here refer to someone, people who will arise. It says in this pasuk, some of the wise men will stumble to purge, to refine, to clarify until the appointed time, until the coming of Mashiach, because it's not yet come. So the psukim here in Daniel tell us that there will be people who seem to be Mashiach, but in fact aren't, because it's not yet the time. And it will be a test of us to see how do we respond to this seeming Mashiach. It'll test our faith. It'll test our adherence to the Torah. And surely that has happened. So here we have the Rambam, again, giving us very clear guidance about how to determine who the Melech HaMashiach is. Now, the Rambam gives an example, actually, in the previous halacha, which we'll see next, of someone who seems to have been Bechezkas Mashiach, who wasn't actually Mashiach. And who is that? None other than Bar Kochba. And who was the one who thought he was the Mashiach? None other than Rabbi Akiva. So here we have a perfect example of the phenomenon that the Rambam has described. The Rambam told us that there will be someone who, even great people, people as great as Rabbi Akiva, will think is Mashiach. Now, let's read it inside and then we'll explain. Rabbi Akiva Chacham Gadol Michachmei HaMishnah Haya. Rabbi Akiva was a great wise man among the scholars of the Mishnah. V'hu haya nose kelev shel ban koziva hamelech. He was one of the supporters, literally means carrying his weapons, but it means a supporter of ben koziva. V'hu haya omer alav shehu melech hamashiach. And Rabbi Akiva would say about Bar Kochba that he was the Melech HaMashiach. Why? Why did Rabbi Akiva think he was the Melech HaMashiach? I think because Bar Kochba met these conditions of someone who is Bechezkas Mashiach. What do I mean? Bar Kochba was a descendant of David. He was a Torah scholar. He observed mitzvos. He brought the Jewish people closer to observance. And certainly he fought the battles of God and was initially victorious. He was also initially a tzaddik. The Gemara talks about how perhaps he didn't keep up his righteousness. Even someone who's a tzaddik doesn't guarantee that they will never mess up. Bar Kochba became a bit arrogant, the Gemara tells us. And this is part of the reason for his downfall. So one way or the other, so Rabbi Akiva, though, looked at Bar Kochba and he saw, wow, this is someone who's Bechezkas Mashiach. Not just Rabbi Akiva, but the Rambam continues. V'dimahu v'chol chachmei doro, shehu melech HaMashiach. Rabbi Akiva, as well as all the chachamim of Rabbi Akiva's generation, Rabbi Akiva was the leader of the chachamim, they all thought that Bar Kochba was the Melech HaMashiach. Keep in mind, by the way, when did Bar Kochba exist? Bar Kochba existed about 70, 80 years after the destruction of the Second Temple. And this was a resurgence, a rebellion against Rome. This was at a time of great Roman persecution, again, in light of the sort of historical considerations that we mentioned earlier. And this was also a time of great hope. The Jewish people rebelled against Rome, the strongest empire in the world by far. They had initial success, extraordinary success. They were taking on the strongest army in the world and were victorious. They were led by Bar Kochba. And so Rabbi Akiva and the people of his generation said, this is it. This is the Mashiach. But, and here's what's so important, they didn't say he's the Vadei Mashiach. They said he's the Chezkas Mashiach. Ad Shenerag Be'avonos, until he was killed due to his sins. In other words, turns out, as I mentioned before, that Bar Kochba did not remain that tzaddik that perhaps he once was. He sinned and he was killed due to his sins. Kevan Shenerag, once he was killed, no Dalahem She'enu HaMashiach. They knew. Everybody knew this was not it. This was not the Mashiach. There was no legacy. There was no, you know, unfortunately, after some of many of the famous false Mashiachs, both recent and ancient, there have been people who, after the person was no longer alive and couldn't have been the Mashiach anymore, continued to say he's the Mashiach. This happened after the death of Shabtai Tzvi, after the death of Yeshu, etc., etc. This didn't happen here because it would seem, as far as I could tell, that the Jewish people led by Rabbi Kiva said, no, yeah, we thought he was the Mashiach. We thought he was Bechezkas Mashiach. But now that he's died, so we know he is not the Mashiach. So that is what the Rambam says. Now, I want to talk a little bit more about other false messiahs. I know we're about out of time, so we don't have time to read it inside. I'll summarize. But the Rambam actually continues to warn us about the dangers of false messiahs in the Halacha Perkut Aleph Halacha Dalet, which you have below. He talks about Jesus and how he wasn't the true Mashiach, of course. And he talks actually very interestingly about what purpose his movement, Christianity in general, served. Also, he talks about the role of Islam. He talks about how these religions brought about carried out, played a role in the fulfillment of God's plans by bringing the world to monotheism, or at least closer to monotheism. Whether or not Christianity is Avodah Zarah or not is another question. The Rambam felt that it was, but it's certainly a lot closer to monotheism than the pagan religions that existed and that dominated the West until Christianity and then later Islam, which is monotheistic, brought much of the world towards monotheism. And that, in fact, paved the way for the coming of Mashiach, because the concept, the notion of Mashiach, the notion of one God, is something that the world is familiar with and the like. Interestingly enough, these passages in the Rambam that you have over here, not surprisingly, were excised from most of the printed editions of the Rambam. I think all editions, printed editions of the Rambam, starting from Venice 1574, deleted most of the text that you have here. In recent times, these passages have been restored. The Rambam also discusses extensively the concept of false messiah in his Igeret Teiman. Igeret Teiman was a letter written to the Jewish people of Yemen in 1172. That too was a time of intense persecution. There was a forced conversion to Islam, and it devastated the Jewish community over there. And that persecuted community rallied behind a false messiah. And they turned to the Rambam, who was alive at the time, and the Rambam gave them tremendous leadership, very warm, loving leadership. In fact, after this event, the Jews of Yemen felt so close to the Rambam for his guidance. He didn't come to Yemen. He was in Egypt at the time, of course, but his leadership, that they accepted the Rambam as, in a sense, their posek, their leader. In fact, the Ramban writes that they appreciated the Rambam so much that they included his name in Kaddish. They used to say in Kaddish, by Chayichon uviyamichon uvachay de Rabbi Moshe ben Maimon. Unbelievable. So the Jews of Yemen were supported by the Rambam. But anyway, the Rambam tells them how to deal with this force, this false messiah, how to realize, appreciate that he wasn't the true Mashiach. One of the things that he says, I'll just mention, we can't read the whole letter, you could look at the sources later, but he says, it's obvious that this guy isn't the Mashiach because he's an ignoramus. And how do I know he's an ignoramus? We already said the Psukim tell us that the Mashiach has to be a Torah scholar, because he told people to give away all their possessions to tzedakah. So, first of all, he's telling them to violate the halacha. The halacha is you're not allowed to do that. So you can't be the Mashiach. He's telling them to violate the halacha. And second of all, you see, he's an idiot. Why in the world is he telling you? Tzedakah is a mitzvah. But he asks us to give all your money to tzedakah. And therefore, you could see for sure that he is a false messiah. We are out of time. So unfortunately, as you can see from the Makoros, I was hoping to do a bit more. And we don't have time. All I'll conclude with is that this whole this is yet another example of a situation where people would turn to the halacha to be rational, keep their head screwed on, and halacha is a system that always keeps us grounded, then much of the sadness and devastation that has been wrought throughout history by false messiahs would never have happened. But at the same time, we must also remember something else, that belief in the coming of Mashiach is something which is so, so necessary and important. And I think it's something that's particularly difficult nowadays. Why? Because we live in a time when, in a sense, at least someone who doesn't think about it too much would, you know, feel very comfortable with the way things are. You know, it's one thing that if you experience persecution and harassment on a daily basis, so, you know, you're going to long for Mashiach. We see that things aren't as safe as we might have thought they were even now, but still, overall, most people feel safe and most people feel comfortable. There are wonderful Torah institutions here in Galus, yeshivos and shuls, and it's easy to get comfortable and not long for the Mashiach. But longing for the Mashiach is something that is so fundamental. The Rambam writes that it's not enough to believe in Mashiach, but you must long for Mashiach. One of the six questions every person's asked after they die is Tzipisa LeYeshua. Did you long for the exile? And sorry, Chas V'Shalom, did you long for the redemption? And therefore, while we have to make sure that we don't fall for the false Messiah, we also have to make sure that we hope for the true Messiah, such that when, God willing, he comes one day very soon, we will greet him with open arms and an open heart, and we'll arb di zolcha to see the B'es Kol Tzedek, B'mheira V'yameinu. Amen.